I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. It's been an emotional day in Haiti. Today marks exactly 1 month since the January 12th earthquake devastated the country's capital and surrounding areas. An estimated 230,000 people died. Today was a day to remember those victims. Some mourners convened at the site of a mass grave outside the capital, Port-au-Prince. Tens of thousands of victims were buried there. Larger ceremonies were held close to the devastated cathedral in the city center. There, thousands of Haitians wearing white gathered to sing hymns at an open-air service. Rolandre Prophet is a teacher in Port-au-Prince. He says today Haitians are united in grief.
The country looks like one now, where everybody unites, a scene that you don't see very often in Haiti. So the earthquake really, despite the ordeal that people have went through, have made it possible for people to come together. So we can say it's like a patriotic day where people like rely on each other.
Buddy says for many Haitians, the pain caused by last month's earthquake is still all too real.
Today, people are trying to remember those they have lost, but at the same time, you have people, you have family members, mothers, fathers, or sons, who are still under the rubble, and they haven't pulled these people out yet. So you can imagine today, it's a mixed feeling. People want to move on, and people want to move their loved ones under the rubble.
Teacher Rolandre Prophet in Port-au-Prince today. The BBC's Nick Davis is in the Haitian capital. And Nick, what has it been like to witness these ceremonies today, this coming together?
Well, I was down by the presidential palace. You may remember from the TV pictures in the aftermath of the actual quake. It was a symbol of the Haitian people. The home of president destroyed. It was crumbled in and basically collapsed in on itself. Today, there were tens of thousands of people around it, coming together, a real focal point of their mourning. Many people dressed in white as a sign of remembrance for the people who were lost in that quake. As I walked round, people were holding their hands in the air, others were in prayer, and there was a pastor, a preacher, talking to the countless thousands of people, saying to them at one point, "God bless America and God bless Haiti." Really an opportunity for many people in Haiti to actually reflect on the events of the last month or so. It came as such a shock to them. And then again, you have to bear in mind that burial and death, there's so much ritual which goes with it here in the country, the mass graves robbing people of the opportunity to really commemorate the lives of their loved ones.
Did you get a sense, Nick, that it was cathartic for these people and a counterpoint to their grief?
Yes, in many respects. One of the things which has really struck me being in Haiti is how religious people are and how much they have been buoyed by their faith in terms of being able to deal with the devastating earthquake. Everybody you speak to, they always seem to say, when you ask them about the events, they look at you and they say, "Well, you know, I thank God that I'm alive, and you know, I really do believe that at some stage things will get better."
Is Haiti still in total emergency mode, or do you think it's crossed over to a transition of sorts?
No, when you walk around, it's clear that the relief operation is still patchy in parts. There are camps which I've revisited which now have tents, which is clearly a sign of improvement. There are much more distribution centres in most places. It's done in a very organised way. But you don't have to go too far off the beaten track to find places where there's been no aid, there's been no relief. I spoke to 18-year-old called Prophet, André Fils Prophet, and he said to me that we were the first people he'd seen, as far as he's concerned, from the outside world, who'd shown an interest in his community. When we drove up this gravel path to his community, there was just the same scene which we've seen repeated all over Port-au-Prince. You know, the tarpaulin, or in his case, bed linen, sort of stretched across wooden poles with string just to give them some form of shelter. And he was saying that they have to pool their money together, different people within the community, including his former head teacher, to find a way to survive because they've got no food. They've received no food at all since the 12th of January.
The BBC's Nick Davis in Port-au-Prince. Thanks as always, Nick.
A pleasure.